Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Your first mission is to keep yourself happy.
It's living for self that is so exhausting and frustrating because you were made to live for Him. So when you begin to please Him, you begin to thrive. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's a joy. I come alive. This is what I was made for.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's time.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh!
This is Wretched Radio. You see wretched things. I know you do because you're on social media. Would you please send it to us here at Wretched, idea@wretched.org? Would you like to offer a correction? Jimmy needs those. Please send those. By the way, Jimmy.
Yes.
When you went, here's a correction for you. Yeah. I heard from Gabe Poirot.
Oh, yeah. You heard from him?
Yeah, I heard. I did. He said that you got it wrong, Jimmy.
What? I got it wrong.
He goes to Mountain Something Church in somewhere.
Oh, yeah. That's what I said. He doesn't even go to church.
Well,
I'm sorry. I got it wrong. You're right.
You asked AI where he goes to church, and apparently that was pretty dated. He hasn't gone there for a bit. So currently he's attending which church?
The Church of No One.
Yeah. So looking for, well, it's hard to find a good church in a metropolis like Dallas-Fort Worth. Don't you know?
Yeah.
Except for all of the good churches I personally know of in Dallas-Fort Worth. And please send corrections. Jimmy needs them or whatever you want to 877-282-2337.
All right. We're going to start with I'm interested to hear how you answer this question. Todd, this is from Anonymous. If I could convince an atheist to read the Bible, which book of the Bible should I recommend they read first?
It kind of hard to go.
/don't.
I mean, okay. So Jimmy, I'm going to suggest a book. Go ahead then. Tell me I'm wrong.
Okay.
Matthew.
Yeah.
See, you can't.
Yeah.
Romans. See, the only reason that Romans is kind of hard because it is probably the densest theological letter that we have. I think Ephesians is shorter and it's easier to get, especially the first several chapters, I think are super helpful. I think people can get that a whole lot better. I don't think that you can pick a wrong book in the Bible, to be honest, because people have been... Phil Johnson got saved reading 1 Corinthians. Okay, wouldn't have picked that myself, but that's what God used. Okay, I remember that Jeff Allen, the comedian, he gave his testimony and he talked about just being totally down and out, doing drugs. His career was totally flatlined. Every wife is leaving him. Basically, everything's been repossessed. And he's sitting there wondering what to do with life. He goes to the kitchen cabinet, opens up the junk drawer, and there's a cassette that a buddy had given to him. And it was titled Ecclesiasticus. So he just puts it into the boom box and he begins reading Vanity, Vanity, All Is Vanity. And he goes, that book gets me. And it led to his salvation.
That's the book I would recommend to an atheist.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I'm not going to argue with
well,
you.
Well, I mean, because, I mean, think about it. That's true. Solomon is asking questions that they're already asking and thinking.
Yeah, but see, I think we immediately with a question like that, we think, which one is going to give them a clearest understanding of the gospel? Well, Ecclesiastes could cause them to go, whoa.
But that's
my life is a bummer without God. That's not a bad thing.
But I think they come to the end of Ecclesiastes and that's when you handle Matthew.
Yeah. Okay. I do believe the question was one book, Jimmy.
Okay.
One book.
All right.
Changing the rules. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Anonymous. This is a three-part question, but it's all wrapped up into one.
Do I need to take notes?
Maybe. Maybe. He says...
You know what I'll write it on, Jimmy?
What's that?
my notice that says no retreat, advancing the gospel together. April through May 2026, a spring matching gift campaign for Fortis Institute.
We have one of those.
What a which one? A matching gift campaign?
Yeah, we
I'm just reading the details. Let me read the deets here. Matching every gift given during the spring campaign is matched dollar for dollar. Blah, blah, blah. Together, there's no retreat. Stand with the mission. Advance the gospel without retreat. Join the spring matching gift campaign. I guess FortisInstitute.org/donate. I guess I could write it on here.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. You do that. All right. He says that I'm a young man who desires to enter vocational ministry. However, I struggle with same-sex attraction. I praise God for his sanctifying grace in me, but the temptation is still present. My questions to you are, number one, is same-sex attraction in itself disqualifying for ministry? Number two, is same-sex attraction inherently sinful? I fully recognize it's contrary to the nature as stated in Romans. And number three, where do I draw the line between what's sinful and not regarding the temptations if I can't control what tempts me?
And this is a young man?
Yes.
Correct?
Uh-huh.
This is what I'd like to start with and end with. You would do well to sit at the feet of your pastor, elders in your church for a long season, for a long season. This is something that you need guidance on. It's something that you need a lot of help on. And I think it should be something where before entering into vocational ministry that you would have to show a great deal of mastery over. Can we say that that particular sin would disqualify you? No, no more than any other sin would disqualify you, unless, of course, you don't have that sin under control. It's simply not something that you can be losing to even on occasion. It needs to be something where you have demonstrated this sin is mortified. Now, that does raise questions about the issue of temptation. There is a line, but we also need to understand that temptations that are inside of us and lurking, yes, they can be sinful. It's what you do with them. I think, in fact, was it the Puritan? Yeah, it was like Watson or Boston that we read, I think maybe a week or two ago. The temptation that flares up in your brain, whatever the temptation is, that's on Satan. What you do with it, that's going to be, if you will, on you. If you just like, nope, go away, done, then you haven't sinned. You were tempted and you resisted temptation. If you are entertaining that, as soon as you start entertaining it, you are off to the sin races. So you need to recognize that I don't think that anybody should, and again, it doesn't matter what the sin is. Just because something pops in doesn't mean immediately that you're sinning. It means that you need to reject it, that you need to resist it immediately. Now, I believe that the question was, is same-sex attraction in and of itself sinful? That I would answer definitively, oh, absolutely. Of course it is. Just like murderous ideations, or thoughts about molesting somebody. Those are simply sinful inclinations that need to be mortified. I think what was the name of the organization? I believe they were a group of Presbyterians. Revoice.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of the big debate. You can have those attractions, you just can't act on them. No, you can't have those attractions. Now, this fellow writing in would say, but they happen. Again, it's finding that line between those things happening and acting on those things. So I think I hit all three of those points. Jimmy, is there anything that you would add to that?
There's a lot there to...
Well, there was.
Yeah, so I...
Does it automatically disqualify you? No.
No.
Are same-sex attraction sinful? Yes. Where is the line of temptation when you start acting on it?
That's exactly right. That's what I would say. I mean, Martin Luther said that He said, I can't control what tempts me. And he's right. You can't control what tempts you. Martin Luther said that you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can't stop them
from making a nest in your head.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So, no, that's good stuff. Now, let me end where we began. That's why, young man, I would encourage you, get yourself into a discipleship relationship with an older godly man. And if you're thinking about going into ministry, is it vocation? Is that even a word that is necessary? I think you're going into ministry.
That's right.
Then I think you would do well to make sure that it is somebody who is in ministry. And if I had to, how long do you need to show victory over this sin? It ain't a short season. It's not a short season. And any more than it would be for any other sin. If somebody said, look, I love lying, but I want to go into ministry. Does that sin disqualify me? Well, not necessarily it could. What are you doing with that sin? And when was the last time that you told a lie? When was the last time that you felt like deceiving or actually went about the business of tricking somebody with your words? So I think the same thing is true with your sexual attraction. Got to get that under control. And the length and the duration of that, I would leave up to an older, godly man. Want to add to that? 877-282-2337. This is Wretched Radio.
Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually. And eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. And the way he teaches it, you'll walk away from every episode knowing exactly what to do and why it matters. This is biblical teaching that puts solid ground under your feet and gives you a clear path forward. It's streaming right now with new episodes dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus for free. Download the Fortis Plus app right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org and walk like a man.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and we chose that name for a reason. The church has been quietly backing up for years. A doctrine gets a little uncomfortable, a truth sounds a little too exclusive, so we set it aside. And before long, the gospel sounds more like an apology than an announcement. Fortis Institute is determined to push the other direction, to encourage churches to hold fast to hard truth and to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ rightly and loudly. That's why we're inviting you to join us on the No Retreat Spring Match campaign. Right now, through the end of May, every dollar you give is matched dollar for dollar, and your gift will help launch two new podcasts, publish Todd Friel's new book, Go Serve Your King, through HarperCollins, and fund gospel proclamation on college campuses. The gospel doesn't move backward, and neither should we. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Important dates in Christian history. 529 AD. Benedict of Nursia establishes his monastic order outside of Rome. His written code of conduct, called the Benedictine Rule, becomes the most influential guide for centuries of monasticism in the West. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Resources, get your resources. Well, this one you got to get somewhere else. This is Wretched Radio. We have resources here. We just give everything away at FortisPlus.org. Those are not the resources about which I am going to speak instead. Christopher Yaun, Y-A-U-N. Sounds like... He's written two books on the subject of same-sex attraction. Jimmy, I think the first one was like a bio.
Yeah, it's his story, his testimony out of a far country.
All right. And the second book that he wrote is?
Holy Sexuality and the Gospel.
That's the one that I think where he really drills into the issue. It was the Revoice issue that came up a few years ago. Same-sex attraction. Is it innately sinful? I believe Christopher Yaun would say yes, and here's how you go about the business of dealing with it. Revoice said, no problem, just don't act on it. Well, no, we wouldn't say that about any other sin. You know, I've got a desire to beat up small children, and I really like those desires, and those desires are fine. I'm just not going to do it. You go, hold on, first of all, that doesn't make sense. Second of all, no. Same thing is true with same-sex attraction. Everything I've heard about Christopher Yaun has been positive. So I think that that would be a reliable resource for you if and you are struggling with the issue of same-sex attraction, especially the young man who wrote in with 3 points. Three? But was that couldn't have been a text.
It was a text.
Well, you must have had to be like swiping and swiping and swiping to read that.
No.
All right. Well... If you'd be so kind, you can send up to 3 points. But no, here's why you can't send more than 3 points. You can't do it because on my piece of paper that reminds me to remind you, No Retreat Advancing the Gospel, our spring matching gift campaign, which you can participate in at FortisInstitute.org/donate. I don't have the room for it. So you got to keep it to just 3 points if you'd be so kind. See what I did right there? 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Dan. He emailed in, Todd, this morning my 7-year-old asked me when he could be baptized. And while that's every Christian parent like myself, that's what we want to hear. But if I'm being honest, my concern is that he's too young and may not fully understand what it means.
Oh, man. How many, every parent who's been in that situation and they are legion would say, oh, I feel you, bro. I think if you would ask Justin Peters, I think he's up to 45 years old. You can't baptize them till they're 45. I think that's where Justin is at. I don't think we should put a number on it. Why? You've got maturation issues. Furthermore, I do believe that we've seen credible testimonies of people who have been saved at a younger age. It can happen. But the concern of the parent is, well, what if? Because we also know that children, for the most part, are compliant, especially regarding religious indoctrination. They kind of go along with mom and dad. They sing the songs. They'll even memorize Bible verses. But that doesn't mean that they're saved. So I wouldn't say that they couldn't be saved. And I would also say you don't want to block the jacuzzi either. You don't want them to rush into the waters of baptism, but you don't want to keep them out of them either. So what do I recommend to this dad? I can't tell you, do it yes, do it no, because I don't know the boy. I don't know the testimony. But I would suggest, in the context of your local church, would you please enlist the help of others who observe your son? Talk to the Sunday school teacher. How does he behave? If he goes to a different school, talk to the teachers. Have you noticed a change in my son? Because what you are looking for, I believe, when it comes to helping to see if somebody's testimony is credible, is new fruit, not fruit, new fruit. Because kids, they've got fruit. They've got certain propensities that can be quite wonderful. For instance, you've got a child who's really, they love to share. They're always sharing. They say, hey, mom and dad, I got saved. I want to get baptized. And you go to look for fruit and you see that they're sharing. Well, that ain't new. They're doing what they've done. You want to look for something different. They used to want to punch their sibling in the nose. Maybe they even did it regularly, but they've stopped. Now you're talking. Look for new fruit. They used to sass mouth mom and dad. Now they're showing respect. Look for new fruit in keeping with repentance. enlist others, and just exercise wisdom. Jimmy, I can tell.
No, I was just going to add.
You're leaning in.
I was just going to add to what you were saying. Watch them for a time. You were given the sass mouth, and I would add to that, watch how they respond to correction.
Good.
Are they, when they sin and get caught, is there sorrow or are they just, you know, scared of the consequences?
Or mad at you for catching them.
Right. That's a good indication, especially when a kid's 7 years old.
I would add this though, just to make sure that nobody hears, so they've got to be perfect. No, not saying that. You're just looking for new fruit. You're looking for new attitudes, not perfection, but they're aimed in a new direction. And I think the best way to go about affirming or keeping them back for a season is by enlisting the help of those in your local church who get to observe your child alongside of you. 877-282-2337.
This is from Jonathan. Todd, I hear people use God's name in vain fairly often. Mm-hmm. What should I say to someone misusing his name? Should I say anything at all?
Depends on the setting, depends on the person, depends on the time. Just wisdom. There's this huge, I don't want to call it a junk drawer in Christendom because it seems to minimize its importance. Wisdom. This is a wisdom issue. Do you need to call out somebody every single time? I don't think so. And should you never call them out? I don't think so. I think wisdom needs to be employed. And I think the opportunity needs to be considered. Is this appropriate timing? And I think the biggest issue in this is, why do you want to correct them? What's the point? If it's just because it bugs you, it's probably not going to be super fruitful. But if it's because it's a demonstration that somebody is at war with God, then you want to help them, not keep piling up more sins and potentially even lead them to the one that they've been insulting who is willing to forgive them. Then you can approach them on it. But if it's just because, hey, what if I use that? What's your God? What if I said that about you? Well, it's really not going to be super productive or helpful. Now, let's just turn up the heat on this one. That person is your boss. Would that play into it? I think it could, but I don't think that it should. I think the same criteria that you use to talk to just a coworker would apply to your boss, just because they might have the authority to fire you. If you've determined this is the right thing to do, I do need to bring this up to this person because you've determined the importance of it, then I don't think that should keep you from doing it just because it's somebody who can give you a pink slip. Consider your motives, consider the opportunity, consider your agenda, and then use wisdom and send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
I would add to that. Of course you would, Jimmy. I would say consider the person too. I think you did say that. But if they're a believer, I think you do address it.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay, see, I was thinking just a pagan.
Yeah, I mean, but if they're a believer, I think.
Oh, sure.
You say that's the name of our king, man. Like, you don't use it like that.
And it could be just that quick.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be I need to meet you for lunch.
But what you said, if it's an unbeliever, what are you trying to accomplish? Because honestly, at the end of the day, You're asking somebody to honor a God they don't know. So you just got to take into account the entire situation. How close are they with you? How much time are you going to spend with them? What?
Just give me a moment. Just give me a moment. This is not going to be easy. Good point, Jimmy. Good point. Let's just move on now. Make the distinction between unbeliever and believer. That's an excellent point. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Pete. Todd, I know being involved in your local church is very important, and I try to be involved in mine. What are your thoughts on emergency response and law enforcement jobs, which don't always allow you to be at church every Sunday morning?
Define don't always. Can your career sometimes take you away and it be a valid reason to not be there on a Sunday morning? I think so. I think that there are, sometimes it can be circumstances, but it needs to not be a persistent and consistent thing. If you've got a job that always demands you are elsewhere on Sunday, I think that you need to start looking for another opportunity because you can't have an ongoing neglect of the assembling of the saints. That's to your detriment, and it's sinning. But can you sometimes, because of, like, if you're an emergency responder and somebody needs you, I don't think the Lord is going to be displeased with you that you, first of all, you were responsible for your job and your calling, but that you went to help somebody. I think of it a couple of different scenarios. Number one, it's 1802 and it snows heavily. You live in the Midwest, it snows heavily and you can't get to church. Are you sinning? No, the wagon can't get through. Second scenario, you're a pregnant woman. It's Sunday morning, you're driving to church, you go to labor, you go to the emergency room. Are you sinning? No, you're not. These are exceptions, but nevertheless, I think that there can be some valid exceptions if you're concerned about, is this one valid or not? Guess what you need to do? You need to employ the wisdom of your local church. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. A young adult author has been bragging about designing her book cover to hide the content from parents. Rebecca Benheim is her name, and she recently said on Instagram that she wanted her new book to be, quote, gay enough for queer kids to clock it, but for homophobic parents to just think it's a friendship story. And then there's Sybil Line, a Good Morning America YA book club pick that reportedly includes graphic scenes involving necrophilia and rape with no content warnings anywhere. An executive editor at Penguin Random House defended the industry's approach by arguing that since teenagers are going to encounter sex anyway through pornography, books offer a healthier medium. The state of Maine has released a draft ballot question for a measure that would limit school bathrooms and athletic teams based on biological sex. The citizen-led proposals made the fall ballot after grassroots advocates gathered enough signatures. The Secretary of State, Sheena Bellows, worded the question to ask whether voters want to, quote, restrict access to bathrooms and sports based on the gender of the child's original birth certificate. Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida signed a bill blocking the state court from applying foreign or religious laws that violate constitutional rights. DeSantis said the state must operate under one legal system. Meanwhile, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is demanding documents from an Islamic tribunal that has reportedly been trying to replace legitimate courts with Sharia-based rulings. California Governor Gavin Newsom's wife is out on a speaking tour, and it's not exactly helping his presidential ambitions. Jennifer Newsom told an audience she once spoke with San Quentin inmates about how she accidentally killed her sister with a golf cart as a child. Her point, somehow, was that violent criminals serving life sentences may have had the same kind of innocent mistake she did. She also said that if women ran social media, they would never allow bigotry, racism, and hate online, which is just a polished way of saying censorship. Minneapolis is moving toward designated parking lots for people living in their cars. The Planning Commission voted unanimously to recommend the zoning changes, modeling the idea after similar programs in Denver. In Kansas, the governor, Laura Kelly, vetoed two pro-life bills that would strengthen informed consent protection. The Republican legislature will almost certainly override her again, as they've done before. And in Texas, a federal judge dismissed a lawsuit against officials who briefly arrested a woman over a self-induced abortion in 2022, ruling that they were protected by qualified immunity. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both of those things can be done at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Lexicon. Providence is the word we use to describe God's preserving, upholding, and governing of His creation. God sustains His creation day to day through ordinary means established at the beginning of time, and He intervenes in miraculous ways. In all things, God is working for His glory and for the good of those who love Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Name that tune. This is Wretched Radio. Well,
I know. That's Sanford and Son.
How'd you know that, Jimmy?
I know it.
Okay. Unlike you, I haven't seen Sanford and Son for decades, and yet there's the theme song right there. You want to know what other song was stuck in my... Okay, this is just flat out humiliating. Would you like to know what was running around in my brain the other day when it made me stop and go, it is amazing how much you retain from childhood, especially when it's set to music.
What's that?
Comet. It makes your teeth turn green. Comet. It takes like gasoline. Comet. It makes you vomit. So use Comet and vomit today. Okay. There's something I haven't said in a long time. Somehow Comet, I don't know if I saw a comment. I don't know if I was cleaning a bathroom sink, whatever it was. And I can repeat it. Why? Because I memorized it as a child. Make sure your kids, they are being catechized. Make sure your kids are memorizing scripture. Because when you get to be Jimmy's age, forget about it. You still watch the Sanford and Son, do you?
Yeah, every once in a while. Every once in a while. You don't?
Was it clean, dirty? I have no recollection of that.
Oh, it's terrible.
Is that right?
I didn't realize how bad it was until I just watched it.
There was a comedian, I can't remember who it was, but they said that they went to Las Vegas and they saw Red Fox perform.
Oh.
They said, and I don't think that this comedian that I was talking to was a believer or was like pure in its stand-up routine, thought it was the most vulgar, crass, vile, filthy show that he had ever seen in his entire life. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Dylan. Todd, Jesus said in Matthew 22 that in heaven we won't be married nor be given in marriage. I've always heard that the first instance of marriage we see is Adam and Eve in Genesis 2 prior to the fall. What do you think? Or why do you think it is that we're introduced marriage in the garden where everything is perfect, but denied it in heaven?
Because it's a pointer. It's a pointer. It's a pointer. It's a pointer. Once we have the object to which it points, we don't need the pointer anymore. Now, I don't know how you feel about that. I know how I feel about that. I like to think I know how Mrs. Friel feels about that. Like, cut off both of my arms and legs. What, not be married? I mean, which is, I wouldn't know how to function, frankly. It would be, like, the thought of it is horrific. Furthermore, all the memories. How's about making children together? And to be in heaven and not to be married to her? Well, let's just start with what the Bible reveals to us. First of all, it is a pointer. It's the lesser pointing to the greater. Second of all, when you are in heaven, guess what? You are going to be married in that your relationship with your Savior and your relationship with others will be at that profound level even deeper, because that it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are going to experience a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ than anything we could, even in the best of marriages, could imagine here, because it was merely a pointer. So when we get to heaven, you will have deeper, profound relationships than you have even here. But I have begged, and I don't mean in an Alistair kind of way, I have begged the question, what about your actual spouse from here? Will you be married? Well, in the same sense that you'll be married to everybody else, but it's not, you're going to be in that covenant union, that former covenant union. Does that mean then that my relationship somehow is going to be like, hi, how are you? Nice to see you. Good night. Another nice day, huh? Wasn't that meal incredible? No, I don't think it's going to be that way at all. Why? Because I don't think that we get memory swiped when we go to heaven. That those experiences are still there. I think we're going to sit around the table and we're going to talk about those, married or not. Hey, do you remember that time we went on the missions trip? Oh, and you remember that when we, all of those things are still going to be there and they can be lovely reminiscences. Same thing is true with your spouse. It doesn't go away. That special relationship is not going to be diminished. It's actually going to be enhanced. So don't fret if you're one of those who think that the thought of not being with your spouse is just insufferable. know that you'll first of all have an even greater addition to that. And I don't think that all of the sweet memories that you've stored up together are going to disappear. You have nothing but good to look forward to in heaven. 877-282-2337.
All right, here's a text from Josiah. Todd, is the doctrine of eternal security essential to understanding the gospel?
Depends. It depends. Well, is it essential to understanding the gospel? No, I don't think it's like, I'm just focusing on the point. Let me just focus on the point before you get mad at me for suggesting that it's not important. Regarding, is it necessary for understanding salvation? I don't think that somebody who's getting saved needs to answer that theological question correctly. They might not even have pondered it or thought of it. I think they can still get saved. Now, is it a doctrine of cardinal importance? Does it rise to the level of essential? And I would say that the answer is it could. It doesn't necessarily have to. That somebody, because they don't think that God is strong enough, he's not capable, or I have to maintain my status, that's big. That's trouble. That's not good. That's not good at all. But if somebody just doesn't understand, it's like, well, you know, it seems that I was taught when I was a kid that I could lose my salvation. I don't think that they're heretics. Could somebody have a deficient view of God, which might indicate they're disqualified from actually being a believer? I think so. But it would have to be something that I think was contemplated and is articulated in a way that denies the infinitude of God, that when he saves, he saves forever. Nobody can snatch anybody from his hand, that people are indeed eternally secure. If they're rejecting that because they either don't believe the clarity of the Bible or they don't believe in the omnipotence of God and his ability to save forever, that would be a problem. Jimmy, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I would add to it, I don't disagree with anything that you're saying, but just the people who would disagree with that doctrine, I don't get it. I mean, if the doctrine isn't essential to the gospel, then the gospel is an offer without a guarantee. So,
but again, for the person who probably hasn't thought that through, they haven't considered it, they're maybe new to the faith, I think that needs to be introduced and taught. I think eternal security is a glorious doctrine. And furthermore, I just think it's super clear. I just know that there's a lot of genuine, sweet believers who have just been taught, I think, wrongly on this subject. I wouldn't say that it makes them a heretic if they just got it wrong. But no, they're not assailing the character and the nature of God.
Right. No, I completely understand what you're saying, and I agree with it. Yeah. I just wanted to say I agree with you, Todd. I wanted you to know
it's okay.
That I don't always disagree with you.
Just give me a moment. This has been a big day for us, Jimmy. idea@wretched.org.
This is from Wade. Todd, would you suggest, or what would you suggest to a rural non-seminarian to do as the next step after It's Not Greek to Me?
Oh, you're going to have to dive in deeper, I'm afraid. You got to pick yourself your favorite teacher, your favorite book. There's a number online that you can go check out. I don't think Bill Mounts is the only game in town. I think he's historically, I think for evangelicals, the Greek go-to guy, but I don't think he's the only guy. I think that you can study it online. I bet there's a ton of YouTube videos that would teach it differently, or not differently, but would teach it thoroughly. I think also that there are books that you can get to teach you Greek more formally. I'm trying to remember. Crosby Schaefer was the book, Introduction to Biblical Greek, that I used. I don't think I'd recommend it if you do not have a longer history with ancient languages. If you haven't studied, for instance, Latin, probably for a number of years, the Crosby Schaefer book would be like, boing. If I read to you the first sentence in the book and you are uninitiated in ancient languages, you'd be like, what is that dude talking about? So go online, do some research. You can do some YouTube stuff, and you can also do online. I'm just thinking the Masters Universe. Let's look up, Jimmy, and just see what classes somebody might be able to take a look at the Masters University, masters.edu. You could do some online classes with the Greek language, too. I suspect that you could. And they might not insist that you actually have a physical presence on campus. It might just be something that you can do exclusively online. Will you find it already? I doubt it.
No, I mean, I'm looking.
Yeah, don't use your AI machine. We'll be here all day waiting for that. Honestly, man, just crank that. You got this. There's a handle on the side. Just crank that thing up a little bit further and keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Blue Letter Bible can be helpful. There's interlinear translations. But there's also It's Not Greek to Me, which is an introductory course, which is available for free at, say it together, fortisplus.org. This is Wretched Radio.
Be honest, when's the last time you shared the gospel with a stranger? Not posted something online, not liked a Christian meme, but actually opened your mouth and told someone about Jesus. If your stomach tightened just a little bit, you're not alone. Most Christians would rather do almost anything than evangelize. It's terrifying. What if they get mad? What if I say something wrong? What if they ask me a question I can't answer? Our resource, Terrified 2, it exists because Jesus gave us the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, and He actually gave us the tools to obey it. And this resource will walk you through how to share the gospel with strangers, even family members, without needing Pepto-Bismol to get through it. You'll still be nervous, that's normal, but you'll also be equipped, and equipped beats terrified every single time. Terrified 2, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app right now on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or head to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. If you're a man, you're trying to figure out what it actually means to be one, and you've probably noticed, well, the world doesn't make it easy. They say be strong, but not too strong. Lead, but you don't want to be toxic. Look, it's a lot of mixed signals, and after a while, you just stop listening to any of it. And the thing about it is, Scripture is not confused. God has a lot to say about what it means to be a man, and Dr. Adam Tyson unpacks that every week on Way of Manhood. Dr. Tyson is a pastor. He's also a professor at the Masters University, and he's one of our Fortis Institute fellows, and he's not interested in cultural trends. He's interested in what the Bible actually says. And if you're an ongoing monthly gospel partner of Fortis Institute, it is your support that helps make content just like this possible. If you've ever been impacted by this ministry, would you prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner today? All you have to do is go to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out what it would look like in your life to do just that. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Well, you can't judge me. Yeah, you've heard that 1,000 times. It's the verse people quote when they don't want to be corrected, even people who've never opened a Bible. But here's the question. Is that actually what Scripture teaches? Or have we been misreading one of the most misunderstood commands in the entire Bible? Thou Shalt Judge is a 13-lesson series with Todd Friel and Justin Peters that sets the record straight. They demonstrate why failing to discern truth from error doesn't make you loving, it makes you dangerous. Righteous judgment isn't hateful. It's one of the most loving things you can do because it protects people from the damage of false teaching. This series even includes a free study guide. It's perfect for your family, your youth group, or just working through yourself. If you've ever been told that calling something wrong makes you the problem, this is one you'll want to watch. It's streaming free on Fortis Plus right now. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to Him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord of our righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that God made Jesus, who knew no sin to be sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Happy hunting. This is Wretched Radio. Went to the Googler machine to look for Greek online courses. Wow. There's not a few. There's a ton of them listed there, starting with take intensive Greek classes. That doesn't sound like fun. Greek language school, the Greek online school, the online Greek tutor. free Greek lessons. Somebody at Reddit who made a list of all of the free Greek learning tools that are available online, videos and apps and dictionaries and websites. So in other words, happy hunting. Look for the course that makes the most sense for you. If you start it or you just check it out and it's like, I'm not tracking, that is, I don't understand what's happening there, then abandon it and go find a better one. Because you just don't want to be in this haze all the time. And if you've never studied Greek and you want to do something online, I would encourage you and commend to you our resource. It's free, so we're not shilling anything here. It's not Greek to me because I wrote that. It's only like 7-9 lessons, something like that. You're not going to become a Greek scholar with that few lectures, and you're not going to be speaking Koine Greek fluently, but it will help you to understand this is how the language works. If you don't understand ancient languages and how they're structured, and there are distinct, there's differences between Hebrew, certainly, Greek and Latin, but you want to get a grasp because those languages, they simply put together sentences differently. And they have a different way of treating verbs, and they have a different way of treating even nouns, from prefixes to endings and declensions and conjugations. If all of that is just like a mystery to you, then scoot to fortisplus.org and look for it's not Greek to me. Then once you're done with that, if you've got a hunger for Greek, go online and find stuff. I do believe that they teach Greek at Masters U, but we couldn't find it that wasn't inside of a course. In other words, a degree program. So you might have to call up the kids at Masters if you want to just do like a one-off course in Greek. I don't know if they do that or not, but I will send an email to Dario and I'll find out and share that with you because you might want to do that. At the very least, if you are in pastoral ministry and you've never studied Greek, there's much deeper Greek courses. Believe me, there are much deeper Greek courses that you can take, but it's not Greek to me will at least help you be able to use your blue letter Bible. It'll help you to use an interlinear translation. It'll just help you read commentaries when they say, the aorist tense being used in the participular form in the middle voice of the, you're going to at least know what they're talking about. It is just a basics course. Jimmy, you mentioned during the break that you're using what these days?
Logo software.
You rich?
No, you used to have to be. You used to have to be extremely rich. It was thousands of dollars, but now they have subscription levels where you pay monthly.
And do they have Greek courses on it?
I think they do have courses. I haven't looked into the courses, but I think they do have lectures and courses on a bunch of different stuff, including languages. So, yeah.
Far out. That's a different model for them because I remember when it was first introduced, this is pre the sophisticated level that we're at with the internet and certainly AI. It was like, whoa, that's really helpful. All of this assembling of word studies and all this assembling on all of the different commentaries. This is like, whoa. Well, it's less whoa these days because, well, if you know how to look for it, you can probably find it out there, but it's still a helpful tool, you believe, the logos?
Oh, absolutely. There's a learning curve for sure.
Then I'm out.
I mean, they have training on there, though. There is a learning curve, but once you get the hang of it, it's some really good stuff.
See, I'm worse than your mom and Sanford and Son when it comes to technology.
Yeah.
I'd probably struggle. I'd struggle with it, don't you?
You would. Because I struggle with it.
Better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. Okay, your mom basically watches Sanford and Son because she can't find any other channel on her sophisticated TV.
That's right.
I'm worse than that. It's true. Jimmy, am I lying?
No. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I, 2 or 3 times a week from down the hall, I hear, help!
And it's you know which one I always need help on? I hit a button, and what the little screen that was on my screen, the little thing that was open, I don't want to get all technological on you. It suddenly becomes full screen. Mm. I don't want it full screen. But there's no buttons to put. How do I get this back? And then Matt just walks into my office, clicks a couple of buttons, shuffles out, muttering underneath his breath. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Teresa. Todd, my friend doesn't believe in penal substitutionary atonement and the wrath of God on Jesus at the cross, but rather simply that Jesus willingly gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins. She believes it would be cosmic child abuse for God otherwise.
Boy.
Can one go to heaven after seeing in Scripture these truths and reject them?
No. No. Now, could it be a possibility that your friend is saved? And after opening up the Bible and showing her all of these verses, she has no other option but to go, I was wrong. I am so, I was wrong with this. I need to be instructed better. Then that would be actually... do we not have a biblical demonstration of that with Apollos? He didn't understand baptism, right? He didn't understand it fully. He was taught and went, nope, okay, got it. It didn't mean he wasn't saved. It just meant that he wasn't instructed. That could be her case, but this is different than eternal security. Eternal security can be carnal. I don't think that properly placed it is, and it's like really close. But I don't think it is an essential doctrine, which means you'd be damned if you've got it wrong. But if it compromises the character and the nature of God, then you are in really dangerous waters. The issue of penal substitutionary atonement, nope, that's cardinal. That's all there is to it. That is a cardinal doctrine. That is the doctrine of justification. That is the doctrine of grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. Show her, just go, do you use your logo software, or you can just use whatever concordance you got. Look up the word propitiation. Look up the word justification, that he died for our sins over and over and over. It's not a one-off. It is just a constant, repetitious banging of the drum of justification. What she's citing, by the way, that's probably James Tallarico. These are other versions of penal other versions of the atonement that try to explain away what they call. I remember Greg Boyd was the first one that I heard use that. It's cosmic child abuse. No, it's not. Cosmic child abuse is somebody who's angry and out of control, incorrectly and unjustly punishing a child. That's hardly what happened on the cross when, from eternity past, Jesus Christ agreed to go to the cross. God wasn't out of control. This wasn't unbridled wrath. No, this was all predetermined. It was settled. It was exactly right. Why? Why? For the payment of sins. If you lose payment of sins, then yeah, you're going to see it as cosmic child abuse because it's pointless. But I would say that also applies to what this young lady that is being written about believes that it was. What did she say, Jimmy? That it's just an example or something of love.
She believes it would be
cosmic child abuse. All right, then what was the point of it? Ask her. What was the point of it? Why would a man who is not crazy march to a cross? He said it himself that he could call down legions of angels and get out of this, but he didn't. Why? And turn this argument around. Put it on them. The burden is on you. The Bible is so clear. The burden is on you. So tell me, if Jesus didn't die for sins, then what was he doing there? You explain it. And then open up your Bible and show them and let the word do the convicting and convincing. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Wyatt. Todd, recently I've been seeing the subject of conspiracy theories pop up like crazy.
Yeah.
Ideas like the flat earth or 9/11 being an inside job. How should Christians respond to these ideas? Should we sincerely look into them for the truth or just ignore them completely?
Well, does this person not think 9/11 was an inside? Oh, sorry. We seem to be in an era of that. There's conspiracy theories have always existed. And I think the joke is it's only a conspiracy theory until it's proven to be true. It does happen. Sometimes what was esteemed a conspiracy theory, it's like, nope, there it is after all. I think what do I do with these things with a brother or sister who believes these things? I'm not being cheeky. I'm not trying to give kind of a, let's just move on kind of an answer. But honestly, what do I do about it? Nothing. Nothing. It's just not important. It just isn't. It'll get sorted. It'll come out in the wash. If 9/11, if that happened to have been an inside job, it'll come out someday. And if it doesn't, oh well. And if my brother or sister believes it, I'm trying to, that doesn't even get to the level of tertiary doctrine. It's not a doctrine at all. I've got brothers and sisters, they do believe in flat earth theory. And I don't mean this like my attitude toward them is negative. I don't care. I don't care. It's not that I don't care, but I love them. I just don't care that they hold to that. Why? Because it just doesn't make a difference. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.